I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. We're continuing to follow the country's economic crisis. In a few minutes, we'll hear from the deans of three business schools. They supply the financial industry with new talent. So how are they and their students coping with news of the turmoil on Wall Street? That's in just a few minutes. But first, we're going to talk about President Bush's plan to shore up the nation's financial institutions. President Bush is pressing the Congress to act quickly on his plan to buy distressed mortgage-backed securities from failing financial firms and to give the Treasury Secretary sweeping powers to intervene in the markets. He says severe consequences may result if lawmakers don't act by the end of the week. Meanwhile, Democrats and some Republicans are coming up with their own ideas. We're going to hear from two members of the House Financial Services Committee about the plan. In a few minutes, we're going to hear from Texas Republican Ron Paul. He ran unsuccessfully for the Republican presidential nomination this year. But first, Congressman Gregory Meeks, Democrat of New York. He joins me now in our Washington studio. Thank you so much for coming.
Good being with you, Michelle.
First of all, how serious is this crisis as you understand it? And when did you realize how serious it was?
Well, it is a very serious crisis. I mean, you see every week just about one of the major firms and banks are closing, and our financial system seems to be at stake here. When we first realized it, I think that individuals were talking about it for a while. You know, in Congress, we back in 2005, even before Democrats took control of the House, Chairman Mike Oxley at that particular time, we had Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac coming before us and others, and we came up with a plan that we said that needed to be implemented so that we could try to prevent the crisis before it happened. And unfortunately, the plan, when Mike Oxley, who was a Republican, presented it to the President of the United States and to his administration, they just turned it down and said that, you know, the market will fix itself. Subsequently, you know, time has gone by, and once Democrats took control, we've had several hearings. We had, you know, previously Chairman Greenspan and Bernanke has come before us. Each time they've said that the financial situation was stable and that the market would take care of itself. And then, lo and behold, all of a sudden, we hear now how much of a crisis we're in, and we see the closings of many of our brokerage firms, you know, the bankruptcies or takeovers, et cetera, and that we were in this deep, deep crisis.
So you think this could have been prevented if there had been more aggressive intervention earlier, more aggressive oversight?
Well, I think so. I think that if not prevented, it would have at least reduced the kind of situation that we're currently in.
Well, let's talk about what both sides want to do. We've talked about what the administration wants to do. Now, yesterday, Senate Democrats offered a counterproposal. Under the Bush plan, the financial institutions would be run for a period of time by the federal government, but they wouldn't be dissolved. Senate Democrats are saying that the government should now have a stake in unloading the assets. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that what we're trying to do and what we're looking at, there's got to be some stability and some confidence put back into the markets. Because if not, then individuals, it's easier to sell. No one, and once individuals in these markets can't make money, then you're looking at the collapse of many of these institutions where people have their retirement dollars, where they have their life insurance, where they have various other assets that they have depended upon. And so if we allow that to happen, and with the global markets, everything is connected now, you're looking at the virtual failure of what has helped America to be one of the world's leaders, and that's financial services.
I understand that everybody agrees that something has to be done. The question is, what is it that has to be done?
Well, I think that when you look at what we're looking at, the $700 billion is a lot of money. And I think what the Democrats are looking at right now, if we're going to do that, we can't do that without making sure that there's some checks and balances. We can't give $700 billion to one individual and say, you're going to be the administrator. There's not going to be any regulation over you. There's not going to be any checks and balances. That just doesn't make practical sense. And I don't think the American people want us to do that.
So who should offer that check and balance?
Well, I think that we need to, and that's what we're negotiating right now. I think that there may be a need to set up a new regulatory agency. We were talking about doing that in the committee in the 111th Congress, but because of the problems that we have, that's going to have to be accelerated. And I think that we've got to look at the markets as they are here today in 2008 and create a system that is more compatible to what we're doing now and not a system that really was put in place for 40, 50, 60 years ago.
But who should offer this oversight? If you all agree that you want to do something quickly, the president says that the Treasury Secretary should have virtually unlimited power to address this problem. The Democrats are saying that's too much power in one person's hands. So who should oversee the overseer?
I think that we need to have, it could be the SEC. It could be the Fed. It could be, you know, trying to, because, but it takes a little more time. And that's the problem that we have right now, is the timeliness of the situation. And it could be that you have to sit down and create a new agency. I think that what the, part of the problem is for me, if you look at the language of the proposal that the president put forward, it says that it cannot be anyone. It doesn't leave anything open-ended so that we can continue to have a long-range plan. I think that we've got to do something short-range, but we've got to have a long-range plan. And if you look at the proposal the president has given us, it prohibits us even having that long-range plan. So if the language was such that said that we must create a new agency or leaves it so that we can also sit down and figure out how to do that while we do something on the short end, I think that then becomes a more workable solution, a more workable plan. But it's not workable where it just says that absolutely that Paulson or the Secretary of the Treasury has absolutely control over $700 billion.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm speaking with Congressman Gregory Meeks about the Bush administration's proposed $700 billion rescue plan. The Democrats are also saying that there really needs to be more direct aid for homeowners. It's not enough for the financial institutions to have these bad loans taken off their books. There really needs to either freeze mortgage rates for people in distress or buy up these sort of bad mortgages. Now, you and I talked earlier this year about the effect in your district of these subprime mortgage crisis, that the foreclosure rate in your district was higher even than the national average. Is there any interest on the White House in embracing that side of relief?
Well, I think there has to be if they want to have an agreement. I think that we cannot just be concerned about Wall Street without also being concerned about Main Street. When you look at, as you said, Michelle, in my district, individuals that are struggling now, foreclosures up 120%, there are ways that can be worked out.
And then, like what? In my
mind, there's two ways that this can be done. Either one, we can put another amount of money, you know, gas figure of $50 billion in there for Main Street to make sure that individuals, to aid individuals who will have trouble in paying their mortgage or in close to in foreclosure. Or, you know, if we're taking and buying all of this bad debt from these institutions, I think that we should also, or we could possibly make it mandatory for them then to sit down and refinance and renegotiate many of these mortgages that people are in trouble so that they now can have some fixed rate 30-year, 40-year mortgages that are affordable for them so that we can keep people in their homes. This is tremendously important because if you look at the spiraling down cost of the value of homes now across America, you know, and as people go into foreclosure, you know, the value of homes keep continuing to go down. And that's also hurting our economy. We've got to make sure that people are staying in their homes. We've got to make sure there's some credit so that people can buy the homes that are now vacant so that the value of property can go up and we can stabilize communities, because that's also what's at stake here.
One of the things we've talked about this week is the importance of trust in the financial system. A lot of the reporters who cover the industry say that they don't think they fully realize just how much trust is a factor in keeping the financial industry moving forward. But what about the trust that the voters have in their elected leaders? I mean, for example, given the dominance of the securities and financial services industry in offering campaign contributions, for example, they're your top industry contributor. You got a lot less from the financial services industry than a lot of other members of the Financial Services Committee, but they're your top industry contributor. How do the voters know that their that consumers know that their interests are paramount as opposed to the people who offer such significant campaign contributions to all members of the Financial Services Committee of whatever political party?
Well, you know, what happens is I have everybody come in my door. Those that are advocates for community groups, those who come from the securities or financial institutions, to give me their viewpoint. There are people who contribute, but that contribution does not mean that I'm going to go with their viewpoint. I want to hear the ideas. They're the experts, allegedly. They're the ones that deal with this on a day-to-day basis on both sides. And in order for me to make an intelligent decision, I welcome them both come in. And I try to, you know, when it comes time, unfortunately, money's part of politics. I'm not here. I'm not independently wealthy. So you have to raise money. But that money is not determinative factor on how I vote on an issue. I think that ultimately the people have the final say, because they know that every 2 years, my voting record and what I stand for is before them, and they have the opportunity to say, yes, we approve you, or no, we want you out of here.
Congressman, how confident are you, given the time constraints that you're under, given the pressure there is to come to agreement on this, that this will be worked out that this the disagreement between Congress and the president, the Democrats in Congress and the president, will be worked out on this package, and in what time frame?
Well, I think it has to be worked out, and based upon my conversations with Secretary Paulson and Bernanke, it's got to be done sooner rather than later. And I think that, at this point, individuals have to understand that there has to be some compromise. It has to be bipartisan. And I think there'll be some give and take on both sides. And we understand what deal breakers are on their side, and they have to understand what a deal breaker is on our side.
And what is the deal breaker for you?
Deal breaker for me is if there's no regulation. I cannot give $700 billion to someone and it not being, having any oversight in regards to it. As well as making sure that there is some mechanism that we can take care of those individuals who are going into foreclosure.
Congressman Gregory Meeks, a Democrat of New York. He represents New York's 6th District. He sits on the House Financial Services Committee. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's always great being with you.
Remember, with Tell Me More, we keep the conversation going even when we are off the air. So we'd like to ask, what do you think about the proposed bailout plan? Are you nervous about your retirement savings? And what would reassure you? To tell us more and to compare notes with other listeners, you can go to our blog at npr.org/tellmemore. You can also call our comment line at 202-842-3522. Again, that's 202-842-3522.